Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We're continuing our study of this book, and today we come to one of the most remarkable and powerful and amusing stories in this book. Acts chapter 12, this is God's word. "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals.' And Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating.' When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter is at the door.' 'You're out of your mind,' they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, 'It must be his angel.' But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. 'Tell James and the brothers about this,' he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word." This kind of thing has been going on all around the world, all through history. There have been people held captive unjustly, and there have been attempts to get them out. That is not a new thing. That is a very ancient thing. And there have been unsuccessful attempts, and there have been successful attempts. Some thrilling stories of rescue that succeeded. But other times, the reason they don't do that all the time is because there is a real risk to those who are held hostage as well as to those who would go and try and rescue them. What was happening here was you had a ruthless king, a violent man, a corrupt man, a man who was not eager to please God. He was interested in pleasing himself and his constituents. And so in order to please his constituents, not because of any particular problem he had personally with these folks, but in order to please his constituents, Herod had rounded up some of the Christians in order to please the Jewish officials. And he had gone so far as to execute James, the brother of John. And now, Peter's life was on the line. And so what do we find Peter doing? He is sawing logs. He's going on trial the next day. He's going on trial for his life. His dear friend of his childhood, who was with him all through the years of Jesus' public ministry, and who's been with him now since the resurrection. His dear friend has been killed. And he is on trial for his life the very next day. And what do you do in a situation like that? Well, Peter knew what to do. He slept. I remember when I was going to be having surgery some years ago, one of my many surgeries. And I know that God is on the throne. I know that God is trustworthy. I know that God is good. But somehow I couldn't sleep. And it was very frustrating to me that I couldn't sleep because I knew that I was in God's hands. But my body was just like alert. It was this horrible restlessness. And I'm thinking, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Surely I'll fall asleep soon. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Surely I'll fall asleep soon. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. They're going to be coming to get me soon and give me something to make me sleep. Surely. I mean, it was hard for me to sleep because even though intellectually I knew that God is in control and that God is good and that I'm in his hands, I was about to have surgery the next day. Please notice, one of the manifestations of grace in this passage is the fact that Peter was able to sleep. Peter was able to sleep. When we are in trouble, we can still sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. That's a promise from God. But I want you to see some folks who weren't sleeping. While Peter was about to go on trial for his life, he's able to sleep, but his brothers and sisters were not sleeping. His brothers and sisters were meeting for prayer. They were meeting in the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Very influential and wealthy family there in Jerusalem. And Jesus was there with them as they met to pray. So you've got the people of God assembled for prayer, knowing that God has promised he'll meet with us when we gather in his name. Now some of you are cynical enough to say, well, I can meet with him at my house. Yes, you can. I'm glad you know that. But God's word teaches us that there is a very special sense in which God meets with us when we gather together in his name. When we come together and we're there for him, God meets with us. And that is a beautiful, wonderful, vitally important thing for us to understand. When we gather in his name, he meets with us. God himself meets with us. That's why the church was meeting and praying.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
And I want you to understand, third, that when God chooses to intervene, the whole Roman army can't stop Him. Okay? Al-Qaeda can't stop Him. ISIS can't stop Him. The U.S. government can't stop Him. There is no earthly power that is able to withstand God's decree. When God says, this is the way it's going to be, folks, that's the way it's going to be. God created the heavens and the earth. And when God said, let there be light, guess what? There was light. God doesn't need a consensus. God chose to intervene, and the Roman military was no match for one angel sent by God. A single angel shows up, and there are layers of soldiers making sure that Peter can't escape. They're no match for the angel. When Herod finds out that the prisoner has escaped, those soldiers are questioned and then executed. That was not an extraordinary thing. That was standard operating procedure. That's why the jailer in Philippi was ready to kill himself, because he knew the penalty for losing your prisoners was you pay with your own life. And so when these soldiers were supposed to guard Peter, I can assure you they were not prone to sleep on the job. So how did God do it? It's God. When God decides to do something, it gets done. And you and I need to know that, and we ought to take tremendous comfort in that. But the fact of the matter is, when God answers our prayers and intervenes, we sometimes find it hard to believe. Peter found it hard to believe. The angel comes in, strikes him on the side, and says to him, get up. He apparently was a heavy sleeper. But guess what? When Peter got up, got dressed, and walks out of the prison and down the street, he's still not believing this. That's what it says. Look at the text. Verse 9. Peter had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. It doesn't say Peter wasn't sure. It says he had no idea. God is answering prayer, and Peter's just thinking, well, this can't be happening. This is a really cool vision, but I don't know what this means, but you know, I know it's not happening. This can't be real. Have you ever had situations in your life that were so bad you thought this can't be real? Have you ever had situations in your life where you thought this is so good it can't be real? I remember when I first married Mrs. Wood. Literally the next day we're driving down the road and I think she thought I was having a nervous breakdown or something because I was weeping as I thanked God for the fact that I was married to her. But let me tell you something. Reality is not what you believe. Reality is what you need to believe. Okay? In other words, we need to believe what is real, not try and create our own. And the fact of the matter is, God had answered the prayers of the believers, and Peter thought, this can't be real. So he goes, when he finally comes to himself and realizes this is real, now I know for certain. Look at it, verse 11. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary. And what happens? They didn't believe it either. Okay, first Peter didn't believe it. Then he goes to the house where they're all praying for him. And it's like, hey, your prayers have been answered. I'm here. And Rhoda is so excited, she goes running inside, leaving him outside, and says, Peter's here, Peter's here. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's here, he's standing at the gate. So he's standing out there in the street, he can't get in because she has been so excited that she didn't think to let him in. So the people in the house, when she just insists, she keeps insisting, and no, I'm telling you the truth, it's really him. They have an alternate explanation. Well, it must be his angel. Now, we're not even going to try and get in theologically to what that's about, okay? But I want you to understand, they were ready to come up with a strange, supernatural explanation rather than believe reality, rather than trust what was actually true. Here's the true testimony of what's really going on, and that was beyond belief to them. They could not accept the reality that God had answered their prayers and that Peter is standing outside. So Peter keeps knocking. And because he keeps knocking, eventually, verse 16, they open the door, they see him, and they're astonished. Everybody now is in a commotion. Everybody is excited. Everybody's talking, and Peter motions for them to be quiet. And says, let me tell you what happened. And he tells them this story. And then he says, now, if you'll excuse me, I'm not going to stay for the brownies. I've got to leave town. And he does. He left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion. Again, that is humorous understatement by design. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. Picture it, if you're a professional soldier and the guys charged with guarding him are looking at chains that are empty. Remember, they fell off his wrists. How is this possible? God. But I mean, he was chained. Yeah. And now he's gone. Yeah. Picture someday when God calls us home. And people are saying, what happened? Let me tell you, folks, God keeps his promises. And there is nothing that is too hard for God. So what do? Well, I want to submit three things we ought to do. First of all, we need to obey God's word. Why was Peter in prison? Because he obeyed God's word. So you're saying it could end with us going to prison? Oh, it could end like James. God doesn't do whatever we want. God does whatever is best. He's working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And we need to realize that even though Peter got out of prison, he did spend time in prison, and he would eventually be martyred. And while Peter was in prison, he was keenly aware that his friend James had already been martyred. Prayer is not magic. Prayer is not a means by which we manipulate God and make God do our will. Prayer is a means by which we commune with God and get in step with His will. So we need to obey. That is the first thing. The first takeaway is we need to obey God's word. That's why Peter was where he was. It's why the church was where they were. They were meeting together for prayer in obedience to the word of God. And that's the way we need to live. The second takeaway is that when you are in trouble, you can rest in Him. To rest in Christ means that you're not trying to earn God's love. You are confident in His grace. And that's the way God wants us to be. What a horrible thing to be married to a person who constantly, constantly says, if only you loved me. If only you loved me. No matter what you say and no matter what you do, oh, if I could just get you to love me. Let me tell you, that would tear me apart. God has proved His love for us by sending His beloved Son to die in our place. How can we say over and over and over again, God, will you love me now? Oh, God, if only I could get you to love me. If only you cared. I just feel like you're out to get me. We believe the devil's lie about the Father instead of believing the truth. He loves us even when we don't feel lovable, even when we know we are unworthy. You don't have to be good enough for God to love you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're not worthy of God's love, but God has chosen to love us, unworthy as we are. He loves us. Hallelujah! He loves us. And so we come to rest in His grace. And when we know that God, the ruler of the universe, loves us, then whatever else is going on is okay. It might not be pleasant, it might be painful, but it's okay. And we're going to be fine. And we can rest in that. We can rest in Him. But then there's a third thing. And that is, we need to follow the example of the church and pray for one another. Zechariah had a hard time believing that his prayer had been answered. Because even though he'd prayed and prayed and prayed for years, when the angel comes and says, your prayers have been answered, you're going to have a child, he was like, how can I be sure? He wasn't really expecting an answer like that. The Jewish people had prayed and prayed and prayed for God to send a deliverer, for God to send the promised Messiah. But when Messiah came, it was surprising, to say the least. They didn't believe that their prayers had been answered. And folks, you and I need to pray rightly. We need to pray with expectancy, trusting God, not necessarily to do things the way we want, but trusting God to do, trusting God to act, trusting God to display His love, His grace, His wisdom. Now, when He does, it may be that James is killed with the sword. It may be that Peter ends up in prison. It may be that things do not go the way that we would have expected them. But we need to be praying for one another and trusting God to do what is best and rejoicing in whatever comes. So, obey God's word, rest in Him, and pray for one another.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today. Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.